May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Years ago, when the kids were little, well, technically even before Logan was born, Virgil and I started to think about buying our first house. We had been renting, but you know, we were struggling to find a place suitable for our growing family that was within our budget. With two young kids at daycare and a third on the way, both of us without college degrees but working full-time, we barely had two nickels to rub together. We knew that we were going to have to buy something that would need to be fixed up. Now, Virgil and his dad are both extremely handy and more than capable of doing most of the work of renovation that would be required. So we began the search. Now one day, Virgil and his dad went to look at a place. The house was dirt cheap. I mean dirt cheap. And so I was suspicious from the get-go as to how bad this place was going to be. Now, they didn't take me along on that first trip to look at the place, and that was probably smart. When they came back, they sketched out a floor plan of the place. They painted a mental picture for me of what the house could be with just a little love and care. And I got really excited about what I saw on paper. And then they took me to see the house. When we pulled up in front of that house, my first thought was, oh, you have got to be kidding me. This place was a mess. Windows were broken out. There was more paint peeling off and laying in the grass than there was still stuck to the siding. The yard was a weed-filled mess. And if you looked up towards the chimney, you could see daylight streaming between the bricks. I looked at that house and I thought, you'd just be better off knocking it down and starting over. And yet there was something in my mind's eye. I could begin to see what that little house could be with some time and attention. A couple minutes ago, we read from 1 Corinthians, and that last verse that we read a few years ago really began to speak to my heart, to convict me in new ways. And that last verse, in case you don't remember, said, do you not know, don't you get, that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? And as that verse began to work on my heart, I looked at myself. And I knew that I was not a fit temple for God's Spirit. I was exceedingly overweight. I was not exercising. And quite frankly, I just didn't like what I saw when I looked in the mirror. I was a mess. But I wanted to be worthy of God's Spirit dwelling in me. And so after taking way longer than it should have, I began to care for this gift of a body that I had been given. I began to try to make it healthier. I began to view it as a temple for God's Spirit, and therefore worthy of time and care and effort. And since then, I have lost quite a bit of weight. I try to get much more exercise than I used to, even though I haven't been good this winter. I eat healthier, at least most of the time. And I try to remember that how I treat my body is a reflection of my faith. But you know, I don't think Paul was talking about just our exterior when he wrote that letter to the church in Corinth. Nor do I think that the Apostle Peter was talking about only our physical selves when he referred to us as living stones. While I do think that how we care for our physical bodies is a reflection of how we view the gift that God has given us, I think that both Peter and Paul were more concerned with our interior selves, our spiritual selves, as they talk about us being built for God. That house that I told you Virgil and I looked at, well, we eventually bought it. May have been crazy, but we did. And I told you that it was a wreck on the outside. Well, let me tell you, it was 10 times worse on the inside. Now, standing outside looking at that house the very first day, I didn't think it could get worse. But oh boy, was I wrong. I was blown away by what we found when we walked in the door. You see, the elderly gentleman that had lived there, he had been taken to the nursing home for his own safety. And none of his family lived close, and his kids just let the house go back for taxes. And it was while it was sitting empty that the house was struck by lightning. Windows were blown out. There was debris all over the yard. The leaded glass from one room, the lead was in a clump on the floor. But when we walked in, we could see that no one had ever come to claim his possessions. They were all still in the house. And so we walked in, we could see how this man had lived. And from money and checks that we found hidden throughout the house to a sign in crayon on the inside of the back door that read, "You are being watched." We could see signs that this man had lived in fear and most likely with mental illness. The walls all through the house were literally orange with nicotine stains from his addiction to smoking. There was filth. There was unrepaired damage. There was evidence all around that the life that had been lived in this house was a very unhealthy one, mentally, emotionally, and physically. You know, our society teaches us that outward appearances are vitally important. The fitness industry, the cosmetics industry, hair color, plastic surgery, colored contact lenses, diet plans. We can buy all kinds of things to make us look younger, to make us more attractive, to make us thinner. And why? Why do we spend billions upon billions of dollars each and every year on our appearance? Because we are told over and over and over again that only the young, only the attractive, only the fit are people to be desired. And all of us average, chubby, middle-aged, or older folks are easy to discard and unworthy of respect or even love. And so we spend all of this time, money, and effort to shape up our exteriors, but do we take the time to look inside? Do we see within ourselves the filth, the fears, the addictions, the hurt, the damage? Because that's the renovation that God is interested in. God is interested in renovating us from the inside out. We need to deal with all of the interior stuff, or we have no hope of any outside fixes lasting. If we don't deal with the insecurities, the fears, the pain that led us to addictions, to food or to alcohol or anything else, then we will continue to regress. If we don't address the hurt and the pain that we carry around inside of us, we will never feel worthy of respect or love. If we don't deal with all that is going on in our souls, we can never truly experience the beauty and freedom of living the life abundant that God desires for us. And so as we journey through faith, through Lent, we will be embarking on a spiritual renovation. As we study Jacob Armstrong's book, Renovate, Building a Life with God. Our Sunday messages are going to be based on this book, as are our Lenten small group studies. And I'm also going to be posting weekly videos from our conference leadership that has additional food for thought and guidance through this renovation. I've already posted a couple of those videos. The bishop had an Ash Wednesday message, and our district superintendent had a message on chapter one. So if you haven't seen those yet, go back on the church's group and find those videos. Because you see, this season is a time for introspection, for reflection, for finding those things in our lives that are separating us from God and removing them, so that we can walk more closely in Jesus' footsteps. Now, like any renovation, there are going to be bumps along the way. As we dig deep, we may open up things that reveal more damage than we recognized was there. And that may be uncomfortable. But in the long run, it's a good thing. We need to find all those areas within us that need God's help. And you know, we all have those areas within us. We all have shoved deep down some form of hurt or shame or fear or insecurity. No one's life is perfect. And if you'll pardon the colloquialism, we all deal with crap. And if we don't get it out, if we don't process it, if we don't expose it to the light, it's going to continue to rot us from within. And so this journey is going to require honesty. It's going to require some hard work. And it will require faith. Faith in the healing, restorative power of God. And no one, not any of the 30 of us gathered here, not anyone anywhere is beyond God's help. No one is too far gone for God. God can and will renovate our souls if we allow it. And so I hope and I pray that you are ready to submit yourselves to God's renovating power. Let's see what we can be when the master builder takes control. Amen. Would you bow in prayer as we confess to one another and to God? Let us pray. Lord, you say that we are living stones, and that you will build us into a spiritual house. But if we're honest, we feel more like rocks of rubble, suitable only for shacks. Help us to see within ourselves and those around us the divine worth that you see in us. Lord, change is difficult. We are a people who easily get stuck in ruts. And so we pray, give us the courage and the strength to face that junk within and to submit ourselves to the spiritual renovation that you desire to do within us. Help us to see what we can be, not just what we are. And we pray this in the name of our blessed cornerstone, Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, I pray that you do draw strength from Jesus. Just as a structure gains strength from its cornerstone, so too draw strength from Christ. And know that in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.